Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The NBA. Now, some teams shouldn't be shooting threes like Stephen Curry, but he's literally changed the game and his persona, being a humble superstar. He's never wavered off of that. You know, he's approachable. He's fan friendly. He's a family man. Everybody loves Aisha. He's got the four kids now. So that's what resonates. He looks like just a normal dude. And so when you get a guy like that and he's not braggadocious, it's easy to see why he rates at a high level. And he's a crossover star. Like, everybody knows who Steph Curry is. Everybody. And the fact that he is a tick above LeBron, and I think that has maybe some of the things, even though Steph Curry has been a little outspoken about politics, LeBron has taken it to the next level.
I think it's just LeBron fatigue, I think, more than anything.
Yeah, it was
not
a lot
necessarily
with LeBron.
Political. I think it's just, you know, LeBron fatigue.
And people think that LeBron has a lot of narcissistic ways to him, but Steph, it's easy to see why he rates. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I do. And like, I'll just go for me. Like, I'm not league passed out, you know, in terms of I've got to tune into a Mavs Grizzlies game. You know what I mean? Like, on a random night. But like last night, games were on TNT and I'm flipping through the different channels with, as you do, you know, like, and I'm like, oh, well, not only is this Cavs Celtics game in the second quarter, look at the floor. Like, it just looked different. You know what I mean? It reminded me of, like, when you watch, like, Boise State and it just looks different. And I'm like, oh, that's right. It's the in-season tournament. Like, okay, well, not only is this game, like, I'm intrigued because Boston and Cleveland, and at the time, Cleveland is unbeaten. But also, like, wow, the floor looks different. This game means something different than a normal regular season game. And so the NBA Cup ratings being up 70%, I think the matchups factor into that. You know, Cleveland versus Boston. Boston's a blue blood. Cleveland undefeated. I think that plays a little into it.
Clay,
I
just
think
against the Warriors? Clay coming back?
Well, that was another one I was going to reference. Is like, you throw the Warriors in there, and then you throw Clay Thompson in there, and his first time back. Yeah, I think that's a strategic placement of these NBA Cup games on a big, high-profile moment where there's no other sports happening on a Tuesday night. And that was smart.
No,
that was really,
smart.
Really smart by the NBA.
And they've bumped up the Pelicans and Warriors game to ESPN, and that's going to start at 4:30 tomorrow, or Friday,
Friday, okay.
So they've got that on the ESPN slot because, you know, really Stephen Curry just go to State Warriors, and they're off to a hot start.
Is that an in-season game, too?
It's an NBA Cup game.
Yeah, NBA Cup game.
Emirates NBA Cup game.
Interesting.
Emirates NBA Cup.
The courts are growing on me. I like the Boston one. It looked kind of different. What was the second game? Was
San Antonio OKC.
Yeah, didn't love the OKC floor.
And then you had the Lakers and the Utah Jazz that I was watching.
The Lakers one was cool because it was all gold and
the
purple trim.
That was good.
I did like
that one looked more normal. Like,
it
right?
is. Yeah. Like, to me, I don't think it needs to be over the top color-wise, but like, there's a subtle way that when it looks good. Like, the Warrior one looked good. I like the Warrior one.
The Lakers, man, this
hey, they're on a roll right now.
This dog Kinnett kid could shoot it. They've won six in a row ever since they shifted D'Angelo Russell to the bench. D'Lo's now coming off the bench. Dalton Kinnett has been starting, and he's been thriving off of LeBron James. Off of LeBron James.
So we have touched on something that was kind of a big deal yesterday, and I would like to hear the Steve Kerr, who was on with Willard and Dibbs yesterday, was alluding to it, and they just directly asked him, like, about D'Anthony Melton and the injury, and his response got me worried. What? I'm not allowed to be worried?
No, you are.
About a vital player?
You say it like, boy, I'm worried. When you use the worry word like you do.
And I was worried. It's the way he responded. Let's listen to it.
He's been seeking, you know, their opinions, and we've really been evaluating everything, just trying to get him the best advice he can get. And we're obviously very concerned. You know, anytime you're talking about an ACL, it's I had one in college and you know, tore it completely and had surgery, and it's a serious injury. So we're really taking our time and making sure, you know, D'Anthony gets all of the advice he needs.
Yeah, and it comes at a tough time for Melton, who scored 33 points in his previous two games. He was 7-14 from the 3-point line and 11-23 overall, but I thought he was playing solid defense. He had 14 rebounds, the double-double in OKC, and he really completed the starting five. You know, a guy who could pick up 94 feet if you want to, but he could defend an opposing point guard like Kyrie Irving or an SGA and try to stay in front of him. And then he can hit the three. He's a lifetime 37% three-point shooter, but it's also a reason why D'Anthony Melton was lingering on the open market. It's because of the injuries, whether it's the back, and the knee could be connected to the back. Who knows? This could be a tough blow if he's out for an extended period of time. And so it's imperative for Brandon Podziemski or Moses Moody or Lindy Waters III to step up to the plate. And they're going to have an opportunity here if Melton is out for an extended period of time. Now, do you want defense for offense? Do you want offense for defense? What do you want here? That's up to Steve Kerr. But there's no doubt they're banking on D'Anthony Melton to maybe play in more games than last season. This could be a devastating blow to a Warriors lineup that felt like it was coming around. The starting five was getting off to better starts. You had your bench set up with Kuminga and Buddy Hill coming off, and GP2 as well with Lou Dog. This now shifts everything up, and now it takes a hit with your depth. This is a good two-way player, D'Anthony Melton. So, yeah, you should be concerned about the left ACL sprain.
Whenever I hear second opinion from professional sports athletes, I'm always like, oh, boy. Not that it means the season's over. Christian yep. McCaffrey sought second, third, fourth, fifth opinions. They're doing their due diligence, but, like, tells me it's a little more complicated than a standardized injury, you know? Yep. And you do that because you're concerned, and that really worries me. And this is a guy that they're going to need this guy. If they want to make a deep run in April, they need – some version of him that is close to the little bit that we've been teased with early on. And I think this gives an opportunity, though, because there always is silver linings in these situations. This does give an opportunity for Pods to maybe find himself. This maybe gives an opportunity to Moses Moody to kind of finding himself or Lindy Waters. And so I really hope that these guys take advantage of the opportunity given to them. And one of them steps up.
Pods, man, just 19% from the three-point line so far, 38% from the floor. And his free throws, last year he shot 63% from the free throw line.
That's not good for a guard.
60% this year. So he's got to get better. He's got to get better as you're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and AC1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on a free Odyssey app. Don't forget, this is a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Freeman Supplies. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman Supplies in Pleasant Hill today. Our boy Jordan Watkins, Texan. Dyson Daniels, a.k.a. the Great Barrier Thief. Now, why do they call him the Great Barrier Thief?
I don't know, I would call him the vacuum or the dustbuster if he's a Dyson, right?
Yeah, that's true. He's from Australia.
Well, Dyson also does like hair blowers or hair dryers or whatever they're called. Because I bought my wife an expensive
blow dryers.
Dyson is out at blow dryer. Thank you.
Yeah. Flat irons.
Yeah.
Flat
irons. There's like this whole kit that she has that was quite pricey, high end. It was like circular. It looked like a gun from the future, like a radar gun.
Dyson does some good vacuums. Great Barrier Thief does make sense because the Great Barrier Reef is around Australia. So that works
the
out.
Great That's the Thief. Play on words. I like that.
Yeah, no, he's good. New Orleans traded him, man. He's part of that DeJounte Murray deal. Dude, 33 steals the last seven games. Like, that's crazy. That is, 31 steals in the last seven games. I believe that Jalen Williams is second in the league. He has 33 steals on this season. This guy has 31 of the last 7 games. So he's by far and away the leader when it comes to steals in the NBA. All right, Ted Wynn's going to join us from The Athletic coming up at 9:20 to talk about Shanahan, the 49ers. Are we freaking out about the offense? What's going on with the offense in the red zone? Are they too predictable? Also want to ask him about Fred Warner because I don't know if it's true or not. Somebody said to Timmy, who's Greg Cohn's boy? What's his name? Not Ryan Hensley. It's to Jay. Who's the guy? Jay something?
Jesse Naylor?
Jesse Naylor, is that his name? Well, somebody sent this to me in a text. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm not going to credit. He probably did the research. But he said teams are completing their past 30 attempts. They're 30 for 30 with targeting Fred Warner since he suffered the ankle injury. So he's given up 30 completions in the last 30 attempts towards him, something like that.
I didn't see that stat. Somebody
sent it to me. Wow, I was
that's
like,
pretty
huh?
interesting. That's,
yeah, it's interesting. I don't know if there's any validity to it. Or
well, has he looked the same to you since the
ankle injury? He hasn't looked the same.
I mean, the guy started off like he was having a DPOY candidacy. I mean, it was early in the season, but he looked amazing. And then all of a sudden, the ankle injury, and it's just, it does feel like he's a little compromised. There was a play in space the other day. He jumped in the air, and Geno just kind of rifled one just to his side. It's like, gosh, I think, you know, I don't know, man. Maybe he doesn't leave his feet if he's got a little more mobility, a little more juice. It just doesn't feel like he has the chase down like he had before.
Yeah, no, something's going on with him. So we'll ask Ted Wynn whether or not he sees something on tape.
But I have a hard time ripping him because he's such a gladiator.
We're not ripping him, but just being critical.
No, hey, I know. Critiquing, I guess,
is
the way.
We love Fred Warner, but you know what? Not playing well. We got to talk about it. It is what it is. Kind of our job. Eli Reddy, what's happening? Eli. What's up, Eli?
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, how you guys doing? Good morning. Hey, caught me off guard for a minute. Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you.
I wanted to rapid fire some of the cons on Kyle Shanahan. You guys tell me what you think.
Okay.
So, well, you know, notice he doesn't adjust. The horrific trade with Trey Lance, you know, and we not even really addressing much Mahomes and Brady. Got rid of Buckner. Doesn't play the young bucks unless there's some injuries. We see what's happening right now with Mason and Garendo. Kind of Cabo clicky a little bit. You know, we see he's kind of prideful, doesn't really have accountability, blows leads, regular and off season.
What else you got? Keep it going. You're on a roll.
I'm sorry, sound like a downer, man, but I've been down.
No, just keep going. I want to hear the entire list. What else you got? I want to hear the entire list.
Also, it sounds like he just, by the look of it, man, it just looks like his playbook takes priority over the players, over their strength. You know, overplays McCaffrey. Look at him. Look what's happening to him. Limits Purdy. I think he needs to move the platform. Since Purdy's a little shorter, he should be getting out of the pocket a little bit more because of his height. So that's all I wrote. I wrote a few things down on an envelope. What do you guys think?
Oh, wait, you got the envelope. Are you on Twitter or anything or Instagram?
I'm on Instagram. I send you guys things periodically.
Yeah, can you take a picture of that envelope? I'm going to see the things. I'm going to see the envelope with your handwriting and everything. I'm going to see a photo of that.
It's a little bit messy, but I'll take a pic and send it to you.
Yeah, no, I would, and I want you to make sure you title it Kyle Shanahan's Cons.
So I did slide in the DMs to say hi.
Yeah, but what do you guys, I mean, you know, I've been hearing I listen to a lot of guys like Grant Cohn, somebody I listen to periodically, and then I've been hearing, you know, him talking about not getting rid of Kyle, but why not trade him and get something back? You know?
Well, that would be getting rid of Kyle.
So now we want to trade Kyle.
Is the only coach to be traded, Gruden?
I think so.
For a first-round pick?
Yeah, for
two first-rounds and two second-rounds.
Yeah. Two seconds. What did that net you?
Absolutely nothing.
Philip Buchanan? Was it Philip?
Boy, I'll get the exact names. Hold on.
Was it Philip Buchanan?
No, Buchanan was there with... No,
okay, I don't know.
No, he wasn't there with...
I don't know.
It netted him 20-plus years of misery. That's what it netted them.
All right, I got it right here.
Give it to me.
All right, they got tight end Daniel Graham, offensive tackle Langston Walker.
Langston Walker. He actually wasn't bad.
Cal Berkeley.
Defensive end Tyler Brayton. And running back Tony Hollings in the 2004 supplemental draft by Houston.
Ouch.
So, Eli wants to...
I wanted the Niners to take Terrell Pryor in the supplemental draft.
So, Eli wants to trade Shanahan for picks.
Would the Bears trade their first-round pick right now straight up for Kyle Shanahan?
Probably.
Yeah, no doubt. No, there's not a question in my mind that they would.
I mean...
How about New Orleans?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Would the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
The New York Jets?
I don't think the New York Giants would. I like Dayball probably more than most. The Jets would. The Jets absolutely would.
The Giants
would.
Might. The Giants might.
I like Dayball, though. I don't think he's the problem. I think it's the quarterback. I like Dayball. Okay, but your point is we'll take it. How about the New England Patriots?
Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot of teams I would want
to. I did this exercise this morning, just like talking to myself on there. Yeah. No, it's great because I got to 15 teams. Maybe half the league would take Kyle Shanahan. But Sam just said that's actually less than he thought it would be.
Well, you got to think about the cultures that are there.
You're not Dallas Cowboys McVay's are job.
Sirianni's safe in Philadelphia right now.
Although there was a point in time this year, they
teams like Sean Payton, like he's staying now. With how Bo Nix looks.
Kansas City, Reed.
Yeah, 3.
Harbaugh.
4.
Chargers, both Harbaughs. 5.
5, yeah.
Tomlin.
6.
Who's the other guy? I don't know about Zach Taylor. I think Zach Taylor should keep his job.
That was an iffy one, yeah.
Mike Brown is frugal with his coaches. He keeps coaches for a long, long time. Yeah, we'll but see
we're
about
going
that.
Hypotheticals here. Harbaugh.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But Harbaugh.
No, I meant hypotheticals.
Yeah, Harbaugh, Tomlin, McDermott.
I mean, of course, Antonio Pierce.
Mike McDaniel.
I had to, Chisholm.
Mike McDaniel,
they would trade Shanahan. Yes, they would take Shanahan right now.
I don't know. I know. I think they're keeping Mike McDaniel. Mike McDaniel's doing a great job.
He hasn't won any December games.
Yeah, but he's been good.
Kevin O'Connell. They're keeping Kevin O'Connell, I think.
You think so? Okay.
Yes, in Minnesota.
Okay.
Campbell.
Yeah. LaFleur.
Dan Quinn.
And then Washington. The entire NFC South can kick rocks. No offense.
Yeah, Todd Bowles might be gone. He might be gone.
What about our boy Raheem Mose?
He just got there. I think he'll
I think he'll stick around. There too, yeah.
He'll stick around. Because Arthur Blank may think that Shanahan blew him the Super Bowl.
My boy Shane Steichen. What are we doing there?
We'll discuss on the other side.
I don't know.
You got to hear some Debo sound. I want to play some Debo sound for you on the other side, Monte.
What is Debo talking about?
Well, you got to hear.
Are we trading Shanahan again? Oh, man, please get a win. But you know what? They lose against Green Bay. Whatever. It is what it is. We know to pull the plug on the season. 10-win Athletic coming up. Brought to you by the Inn at the Tides, the beloved Bayview Restaurant and Lounge at the Inn at the Tides, now accepting reservations for Thanksgiving. Delight in a classic turkey dinner or chef specials like surf and turf, prime rib, or pan-seared filet of salmon. What? Reservations at inatthetides.com.
Hey, Dub Nation. It's GB2 here. The Morning Roast with Monte Hill and Joe Shasty is live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Time for you to like and subscribe.
All right, 10 win in just a second. Download the Odyssey app, 95.7 a game. Thousands of other stations and millions of podcasts are free on the Odyssey app. Follow your favorite teams like the Niners, Warriors, and the Giants. And the Giants are making moves. They brought Bobby Evans back as an advisor. I'm not sure how I feel about the Giants' moves so far. Bosey's bringing in a lot of his friends. Randy Wynn is part of the front office now. What's Randy Wynn doing? Player development or something like that?
Essentially, yes.
Yeah, so
they're bringing back all the guys that got, you know, ties to the organization. Teams. You know, but look, let's see what happens. Like, they did what I wanted them to do, and so I'm seeing where it goes.
Yeah, Vice President of Player Development, Randy Wynn. So that means he'll not be on Giants pre and post no more. You got to replace him. Who the hell are they going to replace him with?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not mad at the Bobby Evans thing. Look, I think Bobby Evans got a bad rap.
He's with the organization for a long time.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He was here a long, long, long time. And I know Bobby for a variety of reasons. And he's always been very good to me. And I just think he's a good baseball mind.
I know Bobby.
Look, I'm telling you, I'm letting you understand my biases. Like, I'm letting you know that I'm like, I like the guy. Well, so I'm rooting for the guy and I want him to be a part of the team. And there's a reason why he kind of stuck around the team even after he wasn't in the GM role that he was in before. It's because people like him. And I think he is well respected. And I think that he does know what he's doing. So,
well, you know what?
My opinion.
We're bringing it to a win. You know why? Because I like him and I know him. And I know he does good work for The Athletic. And it's been a long time. I don't think I've seen you, Ted, since like Nick's Crispy Tacos or your watch parties. That was a while ago, Ted, as he joins us here on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Ted, what's happening, man? It's been a long time.
I know. It's been a while, man. You've been an up and up since we've talked.
No, I've done not. Nah, that's been you, buddy. You got the followers, you've got the views, and you got the breakdowns on everything going on in the NFL, man. And you do a hell of a job. You always have since I've known you. But, Ted, we're talking about Shanahan in the offense, and there's a lot of people freaking out. And I'm not here to say fire Shanahan or anything like that because I think that's asinine. But schematically, what do you see with this offense? Why are they struggling so bad in the red zone? Is it formation predictability? Is it the lack of being able to protect a cover zero blitz when you go five wide? What's going on with the scheme right now? Even though they're racking up yard after yard after yard, something just feels off, Ted.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we look at the Niners offense, a small part of it is scheme. I still think Kyle Shanahan is one of the best offensive minds in football. And it's not like I think I know better than him. I think a part of it is scheme. I think a big part of it was Christian McCaffrey missing all these games, because when McCaffrey was playing, teams were just afraid of playing man coverage against the Niners, because that would mean that they would have to play man coverage on McCaffrey, put a linebacker on him. And this year, teams are just playing a lot of man against the Niners. They've been having a lot of trouble separating. Obviously, Brandon Ayuk started off really slow in the season. He never really got his footing down, and he was kind of the Niners' big play man beater when he was at his peak. And Deebo Samuel just hasn't separated like he used to. He's not getting those yak yardage, and he's not running like he used to. George Kittle is still very good, but he's dealt with some injuries as well. And since McCaffrey has gotten back, he just hasn't looked as explosive as he once was.
Mm-hmm.
So all these are problems. And then you have the Niners' offensive line, which has never really been a strong point for them. And just the man coverage kind of disrupts what the Niners want to do as far as yak and throwing underneath. And it's forcing Purdy to look downfield and throw more. That puts more stress on the offensive line. And it's a lot to deal with.
You wrote a really nice article. You were breaking down specific issues with teams in The Athletic, and I highly suggest everyone to go read it. And there's been a lot made about audibly at the line, and we're talking about Brock Purdy. And look, this can be confusing for novice fans and things like that, and even most of the stuff is way over my head. So break down why the offensive line, Purdy, the offense, whatever it is, why are so many teams able to stymie them in these third down situations with blitzes?
Yeah, I think what we're talking about is we're talking about the Niners' philosophy of throwing hot. And it's a good philosophy. It works 95% of the time. It's clearly one that works well with Brock. He's very good at it. And what that means is when teams are blitzing or they're showing pressure, the Niners' answer to it is to throw hot, throw a short route and replace the blitz. This way the quarterback doesn't have to get bogged down with protections and learning all these blitzes and trying to sort out these blitzes and getting to the perfect protection. That's hard to do. And just throwing hot and getting the ball to a receiver like Deebo Samuel or George Kittle or Juan Jennings and have him break some tackles in the open field, that's worked very well for the Niners. But it seems like, you know, going back into last year, last year and into this year, teams have been able to force the Niners into throwing hot in critical situations, throwing short of the sticks. That happened against Tampa Bay, but didn't really hurt them. And it happened against Seattle on 3rd and 11 when they had a chance to ice the game. Purdy had to throw to Juan Jennings about 6 yards short of the sticks. And Tom Brady brought it up on the broadcast against Tampa Bay. He said, you know, you never want to get stuck having to throw hot in these critical situations and throw short of sticks. So it's not about audibling. I think that's the wrong conversation people are having. It's not about changing the play at the line of scrimmage. It's just about adjusting your protections in these one or two instances per game. And, you know, you can stick with your philosophy of throwing hot, but I think when you get in these situations where you want to be able to block these pressures up and throw downfield, when you need these yards the most, I think that's the small adjustment that the Niners could make. And Purdy is smart enough to do it, and he's had enough experience to where I think you could start to emphasize doing these things a little bit.
I learn something every single week when Tailwind writes his takeaways, the best and worst coaching decisions of the week. And obviously in week 10, he was breaking down Niners blitz packages, the pros and cons of the 49ers blitz plan. Tailwind here on the River Islands guest line. I want to ask you this because offensively, sure, the red zone issues, and I want to get back to four bases in just a second. But before I forget, because I know you watch this stuff inside and out, are you seeing anything with Fred Warner? He doesn't seem like he's moving the same with the ankle injury. Is there anything on tape you're seeing from Fred? Is he still playing at the level he did maybe the first 4, 5, 6 weeks of the season?
I think he is. I mean, I think, you know, maybe he's not. I mean, he started off the season really hot, like making a lot of plays, very, very hard to make plays. And, you know, maybe teams have just found a way to kind of go away from him and not attack him in the passing game and that sort of deal. So I wouldn't say I saw a noticeable drop off with Fred Warner.
You study this film, obviously, like a scientist, and it's incredible when you do the breakdowns and all the different teams. Just a simple question. Is Brock having a good year this year?
That's a difficult question because I actually think Brock Purdy is a better player. Like, he's an improved player, and you see that in some of his metrics. Like, he's his air yards per target is way up. And overall, he just seems like a better player using his legs and throwing the ball downfield more. But I think he's not putting up those explosive touchdown numbers that we're used to seeing, and we're seeing a few more interceptions. So I don't think numbers always tell the full story, but I do believe Brock Purdy is a better player than he was in the last 2 years.
Wow. Ted, you brought up Deebo Samuel maybe not separating at a high level, and we've had that conversation for months on this show here. What about Ricky Pearsall? Because he only received 2 targets, and, you know, watching the game back, I'm thinking, man, it felt like Ricky Pearsall won that route. What have you seen from the rookie? Because it felt like he was ascending after that Tampa Bay game.
Yeah, he's definitely, I think he definitely has the ability to separate, and watching him early on gives me some hope that, you know, he can replace some of that Brandon Ayuk production. And obviously, you're not going to be able to replace that sort of all-pro production as a rookie. But as I mentioned, they need a guy that can separate against man coverage, and that could be Richard Pearsall. And against in the last game, you know, there's times where he slipped a little bit, and as a rookie in this offense, I think it could be tough to know exactly where you are at all times. And that's something that he's going to have to learn and progress with as the season gets along. But I think he's going to have up and down games. Some games he's going to be able to separate and he'll find the ball. Other games, you know, he just might be a little bit lost, and it's going to take some time. He missed a lot of time, obviously, after he got shot. And but I am encouraged by what I see. I think he's a natural separator and a good route runner, and you obviously see the explosion. But I think he'll come on a little bit more and be a little bit more consistent towards the end of the year.
Why are they stalling out in the red zone as much as they are? And forget last year, just this year. Is it personnel? Is it scheme? Is it execution? What would it be if you had to narrow it down? I mean, we know it's a variety of those three, but how would you break it down?
I hate to keep going back to this, but I think, you know, Christian McCaffrey was such a big part of the red zone offense last year as a receiver, because, you know, when you get into the red zone, teams play a lot of man coverage, and Christian McCaffrey was that guy that could just beat a linebacker easily and get to the end zone, and he just had kind of a natural nose for the end zone when he got there. So this goes back to the Niners' problem beating man coverage. They just don't have a lot of reliable options right now in the red zone. And maybe as McCaffrey gets a little healthier, he could be that guy. Juan Jennings has missed some time, so he needs to get his timing back. with Brock Purdy. But I think the answer is they need to run the ball better. They've been very inconsistent running the ball, and they need to be able to find ways to beat man coverage.
Green Bay, any elements, possibly any elements, Lambeau Field, how's their defense when it comes to man coverage? I know Jair's Alexander, I was kind of in and out of, uh-oh, we got to get him back on. He accidentally hung up. Get him back on because I want to ask him about Green Bay in just a second. Because I want to know how they are in man coverage. Jair Alexander at one point was on the sideline for the Green Bay Packers. I'm not sure exactly what happened because I was rushing out to get down to Levi's Stadium, but I did notice that he was out of the game for a little bit. I'm not sure what's going on with the Green Bay Packers, but we'll get Ted Wynn back on because if they're going to play man coverage, which the Packers usually do, and I remember how they played man against the Niners last year in a playoff game, could be tough sled at Lambeau Field.
He said something that intrigued me at the
We got him back? Okay. All right. Ted, good day. One more for you here. We appreciate the time this morning. Green Bay, where's their defense at? I know Jair Alexander, I don't know if he got pulled out the game, injured. I was kind of watching the game inside and out, Bears, Packers here. What's their defense like? Since the Niners have difficulties against man coverage, where does Green Bay's defense rate when it comes to playing defense? Are they a zone team, a man team? Break down this Green Bay Packer defense for us.
Yeah, well, Halfley comes from that Seattle tree. So they play a similar style of defense to the Niners. In the games that I have watched them, they got a little bit more aggressive with the pressures. And they definitely, I think Jair Alexander missed time because he got injured. But if he does miss time, then they lose a lot of their ability to play man coverage. He's by far their best man defender. So watching his injury status going into this game is going to be big, but they're mostly a cover three team, and I think they'll bring a little bit more pressure than you'd expect because their four-man rush wasn't as good as they thought it was coming into the season. But they're not a high man coverage team, but you know, just especially if Jair Alexander plays, I wouldn't be surprised if they challenge the Niners as most teams have.
Jair Alexander knocked out of the game with a knee injury, so I'm seeing that right here on their site. So he's questionable for this Sunday. Ted, man, appreciate the time,
great
man.
Stuff.
You're doing a fantastic job. You found your calling, dude. It's good to catch up with you, brother.
Yeah, good catching up with you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
Anytime, Ted Wynn here on the River Islands guest line on the Morning Roast here on 95.7 The Game.
So he said something that I'm not sure what the audience would feel like if I ask them the same question. He thinks, though, the numbers may not be as eye-popping, Brock's a better player this year than he was the last 2 years. If we just polled 100 fans at the game, on their couches, in the air, listening on the airwaves right now, do you think that would be the consensus?
No idea. I have no clue. I don't know.
If I asked you that same question before he came on.
I would say he's a better player. Absolutely he's a better player. He's doing more. He's scrambling. He's extending plays, and he's doing more with less. I mean, if you don't have Christian McCaffrey, and you're missing Debo for a couple games. Like, that Rams game was big for me. To see him go on that football field without George Kittle and Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey, possibly have his best game of the season against the L.A. Rams, I'm not mad at Brock Purdy. I do think he's a better football player, even though the numbers don't show it. He's in his third season now. Second full season as a starter, I understand why Ted would say he's a better football player. But if you polled 100 fans, I have no idea what those fans would say. No clue. Some would look at the box score, they'll look at the numbers, say, well, he's not a good fantasy quarterback. Because a lot of people have a fantasy football perspective. Some may say, well, he's running too much. He's not standing in the pocket. He's scared of the rush. He's getting too many balls batted down. There's a lot of reasons why I think people would say he's not a better player, but I'm with Ted. I do believe he's a better player.
So do you think he should be making more money than what you thought at the beginning of the year?
I don't know about the money. Right? The money, the market's going to dictate what he has. I don't know.
No,
man.
But let's say you had a what did you think he was going to make at the beginning of the year?
I thought he was going to make a lot of money, $40 to $60 million.
I mean, that's a big difference.
It's 40 to 60. I mean, he's going to get a lot of money. He's going to get a lot of money.
I think the majority of people listening would probably say, from the beginning of the year to where we are today, they think maybe his value has kind of gone down a little. So that's why I find it interesting that he thinks he's actually a better football player. Like, this is someone who studies the film and looks at these things. And I think that we're very and I'm guilty of this, like, did you win or did you lose? Did you play good statistically and flawlessly or not? And it's not necessarily binary. And I think there's a lot of gray in this. And I see more and more people like, he's not a $60 million quarterback. He's only worth 50.
Did you ever think he was, though?
What?
Did you ever think he was a $60 million a year quarterback?
He played so freaking lights out last year.
Yeah,
but it was hard to argue anything otherwise.
But when Jed York came out and said, reset the quarterback market.
Well, I thought it was an absurd statement.
Because after that Super Bowl, I remember what you said to me.
Yeah.
And a lot of people felt like that he wasn't a $60 million a year quarterback.
Steve Young had a line this week where he was basically saying, like, to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league, at the end of games, you got to be a playmaker type that wills his team down the field.
Yep.
And he was referencing Josh Allen and the way that Josh Allen plays and is it sustainable and this, that, and the other. And he's just like, look, man, the guy is a unicorn. And there's a couple of those guys in the league right now. And I think that Brock's just on the cusp of those dudes. I want to see where he's at in a couple of years because my opinion might change and evolve. Like, I didn't think Stafford was there a couple years back. After the Super Bowl, after watching him, after doing what he's done against the Niners, my opinion has now changed of Stafford. I think of him as one of those guys that we're referencing, Burrow and Allen and Lamar and Mahomes. And yes, I throw Stafford in there. And maybe one day, maybe this year, I'll put Herbert into that category. So I think Brock's just on the outside looking in, but he's right there. But it just I didn't think he was playing as well as he played last year. I thought last year he was pretty flawless. So hear him say that. Yeah, that
he's
that
a better player.
Perked my eyes up.
I can understand why Ted would say he's a better player. He's doing a lot more with less. The numbers are still, I mean, look, the touchdown numbers are down. But he's not turning the ball over at a rapid rate. You know what I'm saying? The ball got batted down yet last week.
I thought he was late on the read, though.
You know, he may have been late on the read, but I'm not even sure what his read was. I'm not sure if the route ran on time.
He had McCaffrey early. He looked at him. He turned to the right, and then he went back to him late, and bang. Look, and the guy was all over it.
I think the better question is this. Forget the money, for example, because he's going to make a lot of money. Do you want him being your quarterback at the start of 2025?
Well, I mean, yes, of course.
I don't know if that's if you pulled 100 people, I'm not sure if 100 people would say that. Yes, of course. You get what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't know how people feel about Brock. I've heard all kinds of opinions on him.
What are my options? Because there was this report about Aaron Rodgers. He could be available. He wants to come back, and the Jets are saying that he might be out. And you never know about these things, but like. If you're asking me today, absolutely I want Brock as my quarterback.
But it could change.
Well, things could always change.
What would make it change?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Patrick Mahomes has a breakup in Kansas City, and yeah, I'm taking Patrick Mahomes. But that's completely unlikely.
Pat McAfee show.
Am I going through the draft? No. The draft is such a crapshoot, and seeing everything that's going on, whether it's Caleb, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson. Honestly, where I'm at now, like the known quantity is actually it. I'm taking the known quantity on this team and the way that they want to play football with that head coach. You give me Shanahan, I'm taking Purdy.
Here's Pat McAfee's show on whether or not Shanahan and Lynch deserve blame. Then we'll listen to Dan Orlovsky.
I'm seeing a lot of Shanahan slander now.
A lot of
which I didn't.
NFL figured out his offense slander.
Really?
And people are not happy with.
Slow down.
There's no good head coaches, dude. Like Niners fans do this every year. I don't think you know how good you have it with Shanahan.
Well, I mean, I guess that's a good point because if your team doesn't win, we need to blame somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And the head coach is, we assume, in charge of strategy and over there, play call, offense, idea, roster construction. You know, it's a lot over there with Shanahan on board. So if they don't win, I guess it does fall at his feet and John Lynch as well.
It's a measured take.
And they also think Niner fans are ridiculous for suggesting otherwise that they need a new head coach. They think that's the Pat McAfee show and they have a studio full of fans from all over the place. And they think we're ridiculous as a fan base.
Of course. He's also been front row and center for the Indianapolis stuff over the last 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah, but it's not just McAfee, but a lot of fans feel like that we are ridiculous for even having these conversations about whether or not you can replace Shanahan. But I want to hear from Dan Orlovsky on the biggest reason for the Niners' struggles.
One, injuries.
two, they get beat at the point of attack in the run game way more often than they used to. And that's the big problem on early downs when they're trying to run the football. They used to dominate the game. Now they're constantly losing blocks from sometimes their best players. That was never the case in San Francisco. I understand the injuries are a thing. There's no question about it. But I haven't seen this run game look as disconnected as it has over the past couple weeks in a long time.
I'm with them there. Wow. I'm with them there. They're getting beat at the point of attack. The run game just looks stagnant right now. It doesn't look creative whatsoever. No burst. You got to get some burst out here. You got to get Garando and Mason rolling here. So I'm kind of with Orlovsky. They're getting beat in the trenches on both sides of the line of scrimmage.
I mean, when he says they're great players aren't playing, he's talking about Trent Williams. I mean, that's who he's talking about.
Yeah.
Like, no one's like, Jake Brendel's great. Like, he's fine.
But it's also, you know, the other thing, too, is I don't know if, is it Trent Williams not playing well? Or is it that defense is know that the 49ers are going to run behind Trent Williams all day long?
I mean, didn't you know that last year?
Yeah, it got predictable at times. It got predictable. The Super Bowl, Christian McCaffrey didn't run.
No, he didn't do
hard,
anything. But they
in the playoffs, Christian McCaffrey, he got rolling against Green Bay in the second half. They wore teams down a little bit more.
He had a sick run.
But they now know, after years and years of data, and this is a different team, this is a different year. Maybe Banks is not the same.
Well, that's
remember, he dealt with an injury. We forget about the injury he dealt with. Didn't he miss the Jets game?
Well, Burford and him were splitting time. Right. He was in and out of the lineup, and he has not. But he hasn't played well. He's had multiple huge penalties.
Did he have an injury coming into the Jets game? Yeah. I think he missed the Jets game, if I'm not mistaken.
What was it?
We forgot all about that with Aaron Banks. So a lot of things have changed. And then you become predictable by just running behind Trent Williams because you can't run behind Colt McKivitz.
Well, they've ran Pooney's way as well.
A little bit.
Yeah, but obviously McKivitz isn't good.
Last week it felt like they were very left-handed. Very left-handed running behind Trent, but could be wrong there. Let's go to Frankie in San Rafael. Frankie, what's happening?
Hey, Frankie.
Yeah, you there?
Yes, we're here.
Oh, hey. I just wanted to say... and I call back when the Chiefs lay an egg, and also the Niners. You shouldn't give up yet. It's not over yet. They could squeak in at 10-7 or still win the division. You know, there's a lot of injuries on the team, like the Chiefs and other teams. They're banged up, and if you're banged up, that takes away your execution.
So you still believe, Frankie?
Sure. I mean, I'm a Raiders fan, and we're terrible. The guy just took the money, but I root for the Niners, too, when they're not mean to me. I was in a bar, and I was rooting for the Chiefs, and they all started rooting against the Chiefs. And I go, well, now your team's going to lose. And they lost.
You got it like that.
Because you
got
to have, you know, don't hate the Chiefs. Don't hate them. I don't hate them. They're a dynasty, and they're
Frankie,
winning it all.
Frankie, real quick. Would you take Kyle Shanahan as your head coach?
No, man. I've been saying for 6 years, I told my friend, the first year they got him, they were 4-12, then he snuck up on the last place schedule. I picked him to win the NFC that year, but not win the Super Bowl. Kyle Shanahan is a sleeprock. He don't win the close games. I don't know why he gets nervous or what his play calling was. He could have beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. He didn't run the ball at the 3 yards.
Frankie, hold on. Frankie, you just told us to keep believing in the team, but now you don't believe in the head coach. Doesn't really make a lot of sense.
No, dude, I've been saying it for 5 years. He needs to go.
So he needs to go. Hold on. Keep him up. Keep Frankie up. Frankie, so you think Shanahan needs to go? You think the Niners need to just cut Shanahan?
Yeah, listen, let me tell you something. I'm not trying to be mean. The 49er fans love him and love this guy.
You sure?
And he just wins the regular season. I don't care how many games he's won. The goal is to win the Super Bowl. It's not to get there and lose. I knew he was a loser when he called the play against Atlanta. Remember the Super Bowl when they were at the 35? Hold on. They had a big Metcalf or Julius Jones had a huge run. They're up by 8. He's the offensive coordinator. He runs the ball at the 35-yard line, the 30. Then he goes back on 2nd and 3rd and passes the ball. They get sacked twice. They lose the Super Bowl. Takes them out of field goal range. I follow this stuff like the back of my hand.
Well, let me tell you about the Super Bowl.
You sound like JT the Brick. I'm not going to lie. I thought you were evolving into JT the Brick.
All right, keep going, Frankie. Keep cooking.
Just what check else? This out. Check this out.
Keep going.
The NFC Championship game against the Rams. 10-point lead.
Yeah.
Fourth and two.
We were there.
Fourth and two. He doesn't go for it. They get a big run back. They come back and win.
No, they didn't. They pinned him down. Technically, they pinned him down, and they threw a ball deep, and Tart dropped it. And then on the next play, they went deep. Yeah, they didn't run it back. But keep going. You're cooking.
Keep going, Frankie. What else you got?
Well, no, it's just like I love my friends that love the Niners, and when I had Kansas City to win it all, there was no way they were going to beat them, and I knew that. I knew Shanahan would blow the game.
So Shanahan,
and he blew it.
So you think Shanahan blew the game? Not.
Why do you back? Listen. Why do you back him?
I'm listening.
Why do I back him? Because he's a damn good coach.
Yeah. Why do you back this guy?
He's a damn good coach.
No.
He's a loser, you said?
How is he
you
a think damn he's a loser? Good coach? He's
you think
never
he's a loser?
Won. Hold on. He's never
so
won
let me
a
ask
Super
you this.
Bowl.
Look, how do you feel about Marv Levy?
Who leaving?
Marv Levy.
Oh, no. I think you should get
no,
a coach.
Hold on, Frankie. I want you to listen. What do you think about former Buffalo Bills head coach Marv Levy? What do you think about Marty Schottenheimer? What do you think about Marty Schottenheimer?
Loser.
Oh, he's a loser? Marv Levy's a loser,
too? Yeah, you can win. Listen.
So what about Doug Peterson?
It's like the Raiders.
Doug Peterson's a winner?
Hold on.
Doug Peterson's a winner?
Who? Shanahan? No, he's
Peterson.
Not. He's the
Doug
worst
Peterson.
Coach. He's the worst coach in the NFL, and he's arrogant. His arrogance is unbelievable.
Timeout.
No, I don't hate him. I'm just giving you a fact.
So
it's been going on for 8 years.
So, Frankie, you telling me he's worse than Antonio Pierce?
Thank you.
He's worse than Josh McDaniels.
He's a loser. He's a loser too. We don't have a quarterback.
Oh.
We don't have a dude. I'm not saying the Raiders are any good.
I know,
but I know who's winning the Super Bowl.
You just said Shanahan.
I know who's winning the Super Bowl.
Who is it? Let me know.
Frankie, you just said
that was profound.
You just said that Shanahan was the worst coach in the NFL. So I'm just thinking, he's worse than Antonio Pierce. He's worse than I don't know Mike McCarthy. He's worse than Doug Peterson. He's worse than
he's the worst. Sorry. He wins and then he loses.
He wins
he
and then he
him
loses.
All the way there. Yeah. Dude, would you hire this guy? Listen, if you were a billionaire, and I came up to you and I told you 3-4 years ago, you need to get rid of this guy. But no one's going to tell a billionaire what to do with his team. You know, he's rich.
What bar do you drink in San Rafael that you got yelled at by everyone?
Listen, I know so much. I know a lot about sports. I'm the king of futures, okay? Listen, I'm plus, you guys are gamblers. I'm plus $54,000 on the year. I got 15,000, listen, I got 15,000. Hold on. I went up in after the Super Bowl, after I won my 50,000, I went up and got the Chiefs. They were 8-1 before the Super Bowl, 8.5. By 1 o'clock on Monday, they were down to 6.5. I hammered them for 6,000. Then they went down to 5.75, and I hammered them for 10,000. Now everybody thinks they're going to lose. If they get to the Super Bowl, they're going to manhandle my friend's son. I hope he's there. Jared Goff. They are not the best team in football.
Where are we going?
Frankie,
well,
would you want to... Hold on, Frankie, real quick.
Call?
Frankie,
hold on.
Hold on. This is our show. Frankie, when you wanted Shanahan gone 4 years ago, do you understand that they won 10, 13, and 12 games the next 3 years?
It doesn't matter.
Ring!
The ring, the legacy. Brock Purdy's an average quarterback. Average. He gave up 3. I called the game when Kansas City went in there. I said he's good for 3 picks. And what happened? 3 picks. I know my stuff.
You should co-host with Frankie. You want to co-host with us one day? I'd love to get you in studio.
The Raiders paid Dennis Carr, the worst quarterback in football, $200 million, and he never won a game.
Well, he won some games, just no important ones.
It's time time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I mean, that's
unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Bronte, I'm not going to lie to you. I think we just had the call of the year. The Doobies are coming to a place near you. We will announce it when we have a chance. Did you just get owned by that caller, or did you own him? I couldn't tell.
Well, knowing you, you'll probably think that he owed me, but
what does
there's
that
already
mean?
Nominees.
What? I was laughing there's the whole money. Time.
No, it was funny. I was just playing along with it. I wanted to hear from him. I don't know if he owed me or not. I mean, he just came with no facts. I could break down the Atlanta-New England Super Bowl for anybody who wants to listen. It's the dumbest thing in the world. It's the dumbest thing in the world to blame Kyle Shanahan for that loss. Watch the game over. Watch the situation over. All right? But roast of the year.
He ruined Coach your Buck. Zone.
He didn't ruin my zone. He got us through the end of the show.
That was an all-time call.
Who dislikes Shanahan more, Tony in Oakland or our guy Frankie in San Rafael?
Dude, Frankie was on fire. He says he's plus 54,000 on the year.
That's a flex moment of the year.
That really is. Have you ever been up 54,000 on
the
year?
No, I don't bet that heavy. No, I've never been up.
How about when he says, I'm the king of futures?
It's a king on king crime right there.
Oh! Does that make me the King Slayer? No, that makes... No.
I think... Here's my final thought.
I think
the modern-day sports fan is getting dumber by the day. We've got to do better, folks. We've got to look a little deeper. We have to have some perspective. This is just getting ridiculous. I'm here for it, though. I'm here for the clown show.
Are you, though?
I'm here for the clown show. I got no choice. I've got no choice in it.
I've had enough.
I got a family
to
feed.
Well, you know what? If that's the case, then you know what? Call me the Temptations, Tears of a Clown. My final thought is this. It's very simple.
That was a dramatic. I thought that was your final thought right there.
Yeah,
it was the first of three.
No. Oh, yeah, it's the first of four thoughts. Yeah. Not one thought. You got to have four.
It's like those gotcha endings in shows. It's like, right. Find out next time on Dragon Ball Z.
I like that.
Oh, man.
If you haven't seen The Penguin on HBO or Max or whatever the heck it's called, and I know it's been out a couple of weeks, I watched back the final episode again. It's just brilliant. It's brilliant. And you don't have to be a comic book fan or a superhero fan to actually enjoy it. I thought it was just brilliant screenwriting. I thought it was brilliant acting. I thought it was dramatic. I thought it was really fun and unexpected. What a great series The Penguin is.
We've gotten a lot of Raider calls this week. Raider fans are coming out the woodwork. They's got owned in South Beach, and they feel like calling us talking crap. It's just unbelievable. I can't keep up, man.
In fairness, he said his own team sucks, too. Yeah, so he didn't really.
Call the worst quarterback ever.
He's not wrong.
Yeah, he's...
He's not wrong.
Somebody said Tears of a Clown with Smokey Robinson.
Oh, I thought the Temptations also did a version of that.
Not a baby.
Oh, okay.
Spadoni, love it.
You're thinking of The Miracles. It's Smokey Robinson, The Miracles.
Yeah, there you go.
No, but I thought The Temptations did a cover of it as well. I could be wrong. I'll back down. I know the original one, dun, 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 it was not them. But I thought they did a version. I could be wrong.
Gotta Google it.
And if so, I apologize. My Motown catalog isn't as deep as I thought it was.
You'll get there. It's all right. 888-957-9570. Frankie or Tony. I mean, that's...
We gotta hook them up. You're Cupid.
I mean... That's true. What was our show called that we're going to do that?
Oh, man. What was the show name?
The King Knights You
Was it like Rounding
Girlfriend?
Home or like heading home base with Bonte or something?
Oh, yeah. Rounding Third.
Rounding Third with Bonte Hill.
Rounding Third. Because Bonte's sending them home.
By the sounds of it,
he's sending them home like he's Ron Wotus.
Sounds like a lot of y'all don't get home and get thrown out at the plate. So we need to help you with that.
What did I do wrong?
John Carlos Stanton, on line one. Let's go, Lubman.
My final thought is, guys, the college football playoff was unveiled last night. And I just don't understand the point of the playoff brackets in the middle of the season. The only playoff rankings that matter is the last one. I don't understand why we have to go through this exercise every week of this is where everyone stands now. I don't care where people stand right now. It's just rage baiting and it's stupid and I don't like it.
Power ranking ESPN, number two in all of the NBA, Golden State Warriors.
Bob Murray had him at number two, too.
That's Fast Five, brought to you by Xfinity. I heard we're hard to go. You get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Hi, bye, Frankie.